Hello, everyone. Welcome to another week of the Bias Football Takes Show. We've been out for a couple of weeks due to some unforeseen circumstances, but we are back now. Sheon, how have you been now? What's happening?
I'm alive. I'm where you left me. I'm still here.
You're still here, still fighting, still kicking, right?
Alive. Alive.
I'm happy to hear that.
We're alive.
Your club isn't doing well, though, but we'll touch on that later on.
I mean, we're 20 now. We're
20. No, not really. Not really.
Yeah, you're good. You're good as the last game, so we're 20.
No,
we're 20.
Anyway. This week, let's just dive right in. So this week, we'll start off, as always, with a review of the past games. Mm-hmm. And then on Monday, there was the Ballon d'Or award, which obviously for me was a foregone conclusion as far back as December of last year, but some people like Sheon would disagree. Then Sheon has a story to tell us about his experience on football Twitter, and then we'll, you know, obviously there was the Manchester Derby, so we'll talk about how City completely annihilated United, and then El Clasico was this past weekend as well, and Barcelona fans might not want to hear this, so they might tune off at that point. And then we'll go over a preview of the upcoming games for this weekend. So quickly, the game from this past weekend started off on Friday. Tottenham beat Crystal Palace 2-1. And then on Saturday, Brentford beat Chelsea 2-0. Arsenal obliterated Sheffield 5-0. Bournemouth beat Burnley 2-1, and then Newcastle Wolves 2-2 draw. On Sunday, Everton beat West Ham away, which was a surprising result. Aston Villa continued to do well. They beat Luton 3-1. Brighton Fulham 1-1. Nottingham Forest lost 3-0 to Liverpool at Anfield. And then Manchester City did what they've been doing over the past couple of years, which was just take points from United easily. This time they beat United 3-0. And that was it for the weekend. So, Sheon...
Wait. Before you ask any question, just to correct some impression, last season, January this year, we beat Man City. So,
okay.
Let's be correct. We're not like those that did not beat Man City for almost 24 years and finally got one over them. We're not in the same class. Chelsea and United have beaten City more. I think Chelsea has beaten equal amount of wins against City. So let's just create that impression. Don't let us sound.
You see the thing with United fans, right?
Mm.
Forever living in the past.
No. We're a football show. We have to say the truth. I have to go by facts.
Did you beat City this past weekend?
We lost to City.
Did you throw any punches?
That's not a question. That's not what you said. You said as usual. We're not Arsenal now. Arsenal is as usual. City beating Arsenal.
But we beat
it
this season, though.
So what you're saying, that you're as good as the past, your most recent game, right? Is that what you're saying?
Okay.
So we're both on the same boat. We both had L recently. Anyways, so what question do you want to ask me?
What games stood out to you? What performances? Except the United game, obviously.
I kind of saw part of Crystal Palace as I was working. It was one of those games where Crystal Palace had their chances, they couldn't take it, and immediately Tottenham, you know, capitalized on that. Then I think the most interesting game for me this weekend was Wolves versus Newcastle. Mm-hmm. It was a balanced game. Wolves did not hide anywhere. Newcastle tried to, like, you know, overpower them, but Wolves just refused to cover. So that's one game I really enjoyed. So I didn't watch Chelsea Brentford. So when I saw this call, and I was like, what? Like, what is going on? Like, I cannot be, I mean, it's not like I didn't believe it. I just felt like Chelsea will have done something, because Brentford is a difficult team to play against. Like, if you don't come prepared, I remember when I saw them, is it last season? Some games before they played us.
It was like 4-0 halftime or something like that.
No, forget about that. Before they played us, I listed teams that were going to be a problem for United. And Bethune was one of them because I saw the way they played. And I was like, yeah, this guy's be a problem. So I'm not really surprised like that, that Chelsea lost. But I was still kind of surprised because I thought Chelsea had their footings in and they're like, okay, getting their things together. I mean, it's, I don't say shit, but...
Not to be, you know, I'm not trying to crack jokes or anything, but on a serious note, you said you saw Brentford and, you know, like, they caused you guys problems and so that... Is there any team in the league that won't cause problems for you?
We're not talking about United right now. We'll talk about United. Relax, relax. I know you're gonna wait to go. We'll talk about United. We're talking about Chelsea right now, and I'll talk about Brentford. So I wasn't surprised, but I was kind of surprised because the way Chelsea played, like, so I saw the highlights. I was like, Chelsea should have, I don't know, done something. So those are the games I feel. So West Ham, Everton, that was another surprising one. I was shocked. I was like, when I saw that, like, what happened? Every that game was just routine. Brighton Fulham. Okay, I saw Brighton Fulham too. That game was intense. It was intense as usual. Brighton played the way they played, but Fulham did not give way. And this Spallina guy is one that I'm kind of watching out for. Fulham Spallina, yeah.
Yeah, he's really good.
He's having like. I'm not one of those that go with stats. I like eye tests, but he has excelled with eye tests and backed with stats. So I feel like if he continues this way, it's going to be that next, you know, new thing, best thing that everybody wants to pick. Hey, so speaking of Palina, Paqueta. Paqueta is one interesting character. He's one interesting player. I guess we'll have to do a particular segment on him. But I feel like he's one of those players that you can tell he's good, but you cannot just pinpoint how good he is.
What he's good at, yeah.
Yeah, you cannot like really pinpoint. Like, on his day, he's very, very unplayable. Like, he has that grit. He's like, what's his name? Bruno Guimarães for Newcastle. And you're like, these guys are good, but they're not like outstanding. But they're like, you know, Maybe if they go to a better team with better organization. I mean, they are playing with well-organized teams. But like in terms of like flair and creativity and output, maybe you might see what they are good at. But just two of them are like interesting players. But yeah, so what games stood out for you apart from Arsenal's game? Like that was a routine win.
No, yeah. So it wasn't really a standout game for me. I mean, I expected
it was a routine win. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I expected United to try, but
forget about United. We'll talk about United.
I mean,
you cannot do it without talking about United. Like, I don't know.
Because for so long you people try to convince us that you were good. So like, it's just
just forget about United. Talk about other teams, please.
I actually expected West Ham to beat Everton, but besides that, honestly, everything else was pretty much okay. Chelsea Brentford, yeah, that was surprising. I didn't watch the game, but when I saw the scoreline as well, I was surprised. And again, Brentford somehow without Ivan Toney, they're still getting goals. So good job, Thomas Frank. And then Wolves, I had marked Wolves as one of those as a team that would cause problems because from their first game against United this season, I was like, I felt that, you know, they have a lot of grit now. Like they are a very hardworking team, and this is their coach. What's his name? The English guy. He seems to have like good tactics. And then Cunha as well. He's very, very hardworking. So like, obviously you have Pedro Neto as well.
Gary O'Neill.
Yeah, exactly. Pedro Neto, very creative player. I think he either has an assist or it goes practically in every game he has played this season. So, like, yep. He has high output. And Jose Sa is a good goalkeeper. So, like, Wolves, they are one of those teams that, like, obviously, I don't expect them to be challenging for top seven. But on their day, they'll cause problems for any team. I think they beat City this season, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, I would say, like, almost 5 seasons now, anytime United plays Wolves, we always have Edek against them. Like we never have joy, we never like enjoy our football against them.
I think it's every team, even when they lose. I feel like they cause problems in general.
No. I mean, yes. So this season is one of those seasons that you cannot see their output. You can see, okay, these people like, but right from time, they've always been that with United.
That's what I'm saying, because there's this game that Arsenal, I mean, this was in the era of like David Luiz, Nicolas Pepe at Arsenal, right? Like, it was such a calamity. They Wolves ended up beating Arsenal, but like, they beat Arsenal and we struggled to even score a goal that year. So like,
I feel like it's their culture, like they're beginning to build a certain type of culture.
Very tough team to play against.
Sorry, just a quick note. Brentford beat City last season home and away. So those guys are not, they're not easy to play. They're not easy to play against. Like, you have to come good to play
Brentford them. Brentford or who was?
No, Brentford beat City home and
away last season. Brentford is a tough team to play against.
Yeah, like you have to like come clean, like you have to come strong. I was just talking about just a little digress, but yeah, go on.
So that was it. But then, I mean, again, I remember how I earmarked Tottenham at the start of the season as a team. Those guys are making top four. Are you hear me now? They are in top four this season. So
okay. I mean, yeah, let's talk about United City. Let's just go into it. All right, you have the floor. Enjoy.
No, I mean, look, this was, I guess, Onana's standout game, right? He, even though I still feel like he's not a good goalkeeper, but he practically kept you guys in the game for as long as he could. Numerous saves. Again, Haaland, for some reason, I don't know. Yes, he scores a lot of goals, but he also misses some very glaring chances. I don't know whether it's because he tries to... I don't know, it's just a style of play or whatever, but he really misses some chances. And against better teams... Well, I don't know. Maybe against better teams, you try and do the more fundamental style of finishing as opposed to trying to do elaborate stuff. So that's that. There's that.
Sorry, but you know... I mean, all attackers miss. So it's not... You don't expect him to take all the chances.
But given the number of touches that he gets, the few times that he touches the ball, he should be sure with what he does. I mean,
it's not easy.
Yeah, but I mean, Bernardo
Silva. I know that boy is a kid. He's a kid. Like, that boy is a child.
I'm sorry, he's a grandpa. Child. Like, I know your grandfather.
No, for real, he's a child. Like, tell me, there's no striker in EPL at that age that was scoring this amount of goals. Nobody at that age.
No one's disagreeing, but then
it's a child. He says that's a lot to grow.
Well, but I can mention somebody who at that age was already living.
Who?
Messi.
It was Messi a striker.
He was still giving us mad numbers.
He wasn't a striker, like, and the team he played in, like, of course, they're all passing the ball to him to score.
Oh my god.
So don't compare Messi to Alan. Like, they are different on different levels. Like, they're not on the same level at all. But talking about pure strikers, box setting strikers, like, let's be serious.
Anyway, so obviously you guys were just outplayed. Again, Rashford, I've been saying that. I think Rashford, he's an overrated player, if you ask me. He's quick, but, man, because he's a United player, United Academy kid, the guy's just overhyped, man. I'm sorry. I don't buy his world-class BS. He scored 30 goals last season. What kind of goals were they if we look at them, if we and analyze them? So, like, I feel like he's just overhyped, but that's what you get for United, as always. Who else? Amrabat not looking the part. Eriksen not looking the part for a supposedly big team. Let me sound like Roy Keane and Gary Neville. All of them. This is Manchester United. You expect more. But these people just don't have it in them. And I enjoy it. But if I was a fan, I'd be very sad. So, yeah. The you keep struggling, and I saw a bunch of people saying Ten Hag out. I don't know that it's the manager's fault. You just don't have good players. The team is trash. But I enjoy it though. I'm happy. So yeah, that's just it for me. There's nothing serious to say.
Mm. So let me correct your notion.
Yeah.
Again, let us always stick with facts. Don't let us use our bias to cover facts. Last season, the goals the goals Rashford scored were the reason why we were in top four.
No, I'm not disagreeing, but I'm saying what kind of goals
you cannot say what kind of goals. Goal is goal, whether not tapping or whether not long shot or whether it's from corner kick to score directly or you score free kick, goal is goal, penalty. So you cannot tell me. And the thing is, the quality is not like, it's not like, oh, it has to be a certain way to score. The goal literally like helped us get to top four. The reason why we are struggling right now, apart from the whole mess going on, the reason we are struggling in front of goal, we are not scoring, is because Rashford is not scoring. That's why we're not winning games. Last season, when Rashford wasn't scoring, we weren't winning games, we weren't scoring. So, and this season is probably the first season that I will not pick out a player to yap on and say, oh, this player is not good enough or whatever. Nope. It cuts across balls. And when that happens, you cannot say the players are trash because everybody cannot be bad at the same time. So it happens. So two things. It happens that at the middle of the season, towards the end, people get off form. So as a manager, your players should not be off form at the same time. You can have one or two players being off form and other players carry the player. Or you have one player that is like out, like really out and carries the whole team. We've had that happen with Ronaldo. Ronaldo's last season at United under Ferguson, where he was one that carried us to the end of the season. So you can have that. But at the beginning of the season, where everybody is off form, everybody is playing rubbish, then you have to look inwards. You have to definitely look inwards. So right now, what is happening is all on the manager. Like from preparation to tactics to style to lineup to substitutions, everything is just all over the place. And it's a sign, or those are signs of a manager who is out of his depth. Like it's just clear. Because why will you go to the press? And I know he's not lying, he's saying it at his, they ask you, why did you start Maguire and Evans? He says tactics. So we are in big 2023, entering 2024. We have this center backs of Leicester City starting at a great Manchester United football club. So, and I feel like it's just aggravating because this is the first manager post Ferguson that has gotten the most and the best support from all angles, from pundits, from owners, from fans, from players, and he just dropped the ball. He might be a good manager. I don't doubt that. But right now, he's not proving anybody wrong, especially for myself, who has been someone who has always been, this guy is not good enough for United. I said this beginning of season, last season, and I'm still sticking to that. Unfortunately, I hate to say it, but it's looking like I'm going to be right. And I've been seeing people going around talking about Bruno not being a captain material. Is it Bruno that would set up the information? Is it Bruno that would prepare the team? Because I remember telling someone, like, I don't agree with the fact that everybody's japping on Bruno right now because of the way the team is playing. Because there is so much the captain can do. A captain cannot shout on players when the team is or everybody is playing rubbish. Even himself is struggling as a player. So in what way will you now come out and cover yourself in glory and say, Rashford, you should have run this way, or you shouldn't have kicked the ball this way? You are not covering yourself in glory. So I do not agree with that, because some of those games that we lost, we considered the goals right after halftime. Just beginning of second half. So will you not blame the captain for that? Who will you blame? The manager, because what is the manager telling them in the dressing room that's making them feel relaxed? And the game we played yesterday, the first goal we conceded just epitomizes what United is this season. Garnacho lost the ball, and Reguilón was already up front trying to get the one to pass, which Garnacho should have given lead off to him. So he lost the ball. And this player went through almost like six players to get to our box team. So that's how crazy it is. So yeah, it's just what it is. We're not good right now. You can banter us, feel free to banter us how you want. we're 100% not good right now, and I will concede. I've been saying it
for a while.
We've been good. I mean, to a certain level, because you're not telling me. So the thing is, how can a team that played averagely well last season be so bad this season that we are losing 53% of the games we've played? 53%. So we've lost more than we've won.
That's
in all competitions, like not even like Premier League alone, in all competitions. And it's all our forwards.
Sure that you were, the last season you were, that you were papering over major cracks.
No, I feel like, so I feel like it was because of Ronaldo's exit or exit, yeah, that kind of motivated whatever happened in the dressing room. Because he tried it again with Sancho and it's looking like it's going to backfire because everybody's looking at the manager like, this guy is not, he's not apologizing to you. And there's nothing you can do to Sancho. Nothing. The max you can do is say, get out of the squad. And he's been out of the squad. And the guy's like, I don't care. And this man has come out to give excuses about Anthony, which I support. Like, you have to give excuses for your players that are struggling. If any one of your star players, in quotes. But you not do that for everyone. But you're doing it for your boy because you were together in Ajax. You came together. Giving excuses for him, which I support, but it has to cut across board. It has to. So that's just my rant. Just my rant.
No, it's okay. I mean, I know you're frustrated. I know it hurts, but I don't understand your pain right now because, you know, that's a you problem. But anyway, so you wanted to tell us about your... Oh, so what are your thoughts on the Ballon d'Or, by the way?
Ballon d'Or. Ballon d'Or. That's what it's called. It's not Ballon d'Or. Ballon d'Or. Honestly, I don't have any thoughts. I just believe that they will give Messi, no matter what anybody says. So
No. If you call it Ballon d'Or, then you should have a reason for calling it that. Do you think that it was not a fair decision? Or he was not a worthy winner?
I don't believe he's a worthy winner. I don't believe he's a worthy winner. So
why not?
I mean, it's just my opinion. It's just my opinion. I don't need to state my case because there are so many factors to it. We say we want to use points. We want to say we want to use amount of games won. You want to use trophies won. You want to use one trophy won. You know, it's just there are so many moving parts. It has changed. Like so many things have changed. So there are so many moving parts. Like I honestly cannot because it's so many criteria, so many. I'm not about to go into that. He has won it, congrats to him, but it's still Ballon d'Or because it is looking like everybody's. I'm saying everybody, but a lot of people are like he should have won it. So it's fine.
It can't be a lot of. Who are these? "Quote unquote," a lot of people.
Because... No, a lot of people now. It's not like you cannot tell me it's like unacceptable or like, oh yeah, Messi won it. Oh, let's clap for him. You cannot tell me that.
Show people who are objective and are not pro Ronaldo will tell you that Messi deserved it just for his performances at the World Cup. He was by far, and I hope you would agree, he was by far the best player at the World Cup. Mm. And in the year of a World Cup, that has the most weight in terms of who gets the Ballon d'Or. Yes, Haaland, you know, and City won did the treble. But, I mean, he was not... yes, he's obviously, I mean, the essence of the game is scoring goals to win. And he scored a lot of goals. But would you say that Haaland was the most important player in City's treble winning push?
So, I wouldn't say he's the most important player. But right. remember... They struggled with winning Champions League for a long time. And it was everybody's agreement. So everybody agreed that they needed that final factor, final push. So that's why they bought Haaland. And when he came, guess what? They won Champions League. And remember, that was part of the reason why United fans were like, Ronaldo must not go to City, because you're like, if you go to City, he's definitely going to win the Champions League for them because of the way they play. He will score goals regardless of how old he is. So, yeah.
My brother in football, Do you agree that Messi was the best player at the World Cup?
No. I do not agree. Okay. I do not agree. We have different lenses that we are watching football. Because you are a fan, you are a Messi fan.
No.
Wait now. Let me explain why my opinion. I feel like it's not the best. Wasn't really his best player. Yeah, you are in awe of him. You're like all these American football fans. Like, oh, Messi. You're in the same class with them. So anything he does, oh, Messi. So I mean, your opinion would not be, I won't be unbiased. So, but it's all good. It's all good. It's fine. Like, it's not. It's not. I mean, he has won it. There's nothing we can do about it. He has won it. It's going to be on record that he won it. So,
eight congrats times, to him. Mind you, eight times.
Congrats. Right. Yeah. Congrats to him. Like, we know, like three of them are like questionable, but it's fine. It's fine. Imagine out of it, three of them is questionable. Like, come
on. These are the telltale signs of what people call a hitter. But that's fine. That's fine.
So there's this story I want to talk about. I found it on Twitter and I found it very hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is handle is Nsuka _ Okpa. His name is Oyiga Michael. So apparently he's a football coach. And not like he's a football coach, but it's like he gathers a few young kids under 16 to play tournaments or play friendly games just to get them, give them activities, after school hours activities, just to keep them off the streets. And so apparently he had a game against another team. And so it's the age range for him. Or the age range of the boys he has is from 9 to 15. Under 16, apparently. Under 16. Then, the guys that came to him and play the game were like in their 20s, like close to 30s. Wow. Yeah. So, there's even a funny picture. Those guys are really tall and his kids are like short. So, he said he went to go and complain to the ref. The ref said, is it the one that said his boy should not eat beans so he can go tall? So they are beating 3-0. Oh, wow. So the guy now came on Twitter to complain that they have robbed him, that he wants to do his own back, that anybody that can play football, no matter your age, please show up on this social date. That's how guys fell in. Guys in their like 30s, 20s came in to play. And it was the same team that he played against the first time. So the other coach now complained that, these people are bigger than my player. I say, well, this one, the head beans. This one, they've got to eat beans. And they are taller now. They beat the other team. They beat them 6-0.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was too funny.
No, that's actually hilarious. But that brings up a good point about age range and this thing. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? Age range amongst... Nigerian, let me speak for other African countries, but Nigeria's like
age competitions.
Yeah.
So I think in the past we cannot. I don't have full facts, but from what we've seen, it has happened.
This is banter. This is a banter sport. You can't see what it was on your mind. Don't worry.
I'll see what's on my mind now. Like we've heard, like people like Taita with that old his classmate, like oh classmate, and he went 35, and he was claiming 24. So eventually, the age will always catch up with them. Like people cannot play; they cannot play into their 30s. So, and on the flip side, you have people like Osimhen. I literally saw how Osimhen started.
Yeah, Osimhen,
I knew Iheanacho just started. Like his face. Their body.
Even Mikel.
Yeah, Mikel, yes. You can try this. Yeah. Like, these guys were young. Osimhen's growth was rapid. Like, I was short.
We saw him then.
So, and another thing is, like, in Nigeria then now, if you're not tall, they'll not pick you. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you experienced it. Like, if you're not tall, they will not pick you, that they will not allow you to play. And that's why. And another issue, I was talking to one of my friends, Sam. Sam, he has been on the show, Liverpool fan. He's coaching some kids in around his area, and they won the league. So Shout out to Sam.
Yeah, shout out, man. Congrats, Coach Sam.
Yeah.
So he called his team, I think Liverpool or something like that.
Yeah, he called his team Liverpool. So I was talking to him, and I was like, there's a reason why we don't, Nigeria especially, don't produce good midfielders or enough midfielders. We only produce defenders and strikers. And it's because of the way we play. Like, growing up, for me personally, I never learned how to pass the ball. Nobody's saying, oh, you can throw long passes like Scholes or short passes like Xavi, you know, control the game. Nope. If you don't know how to dribble, you don't know how to play. If you don't know how to dribble one-on-one, you don't know how to play. We're watching Okocha then. Okocha was always a great dribbler. So all of us wanted to play like Okocha. We wanted to score like Kanu, Yekini. So, yeah. But yeah, it's all good though. Nigeria is... I'm actually happy for Osimhen. We didn't even talk about Osimhen being...
He's top 10 Ballon d'Or, right? And then...
Yes. You know what's funny?
Yeah.
I won't be shocked if they don't give him the African Footballer of the Year.
Who do you think they'll give it to?
I mean, he should win it, but Mahrez has a good shout.
Mahrez
has... Yes. He won treble. But Osimhen's case is very strong because he was active. He was all over the place.
It has to be him.
I mean, you know how it is now. You know how it is. Now, you know what he did to us.
They did it to Mikel.
Mikel. Since Okocha and... what's the guy? Aji.
There was a year that Mikel was supposed to win and then he didn't win.
Since Okocha days.
I think Osimhen will win this time around. He has to.
Yeah.
Given what he did in Napoli, yeah, he has to.
Mm.
Okay. El Clasico. I actually didn't watch it, but then I saw some highlights afterwards because obviously the Real Madrid won, and the person who grabbed the highlights was Jude Bellingham because he scored.
A
fantastic goal, actually. But then a friend of mine sent me a video that showed that throughout the game he was just playing rubbish. He was fouling people. He was just like he was just bouncing around.
Jude or who?
Yeah, Jude Bellingham. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was just he was just fouling people, miscontrolling the ball, and then he ends up scoring the scoring the winning goals. So I guess again, it just goes to show you that stats don't tell the entire
story.
Yeah.
But what do you think about him?
No, I mean his numbers. I haven't watched a lot of Madrid games, but I keep seeing his numbers. And for a midfielder who is not even an attacking midfielder, a central midfielder, those are some insane numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But then this whole thing of people saying that he's the next great football icon and all these things, and it's like, chill, man. He hasn't even finished season one in Madrid. And again, obviously, British media, you know how they are. So, but he's a good player. Don't get me wrong, but I just feel like, it's the same way when Jordan Henderson came out, we could not rest. And
No, they're different too.
I'm not saying that they're the same. But all I'm saying is that British players, they get hyped a lot more than their compatriots. I mean, I think, who was it that Xavi said that they have, which British player was it that, I think, was it?
It was Pep. It was Pep that was talking about your player now.
Wilshere. Yeah, exactly.
He said he has a lot of Wilshere.
He has a lot of Wilshere that nobody talks about. Mm. And while I think Jack Wilshere was obviously a very good football player, Wilshere was good. No.
I'm listening now. Continue.
But yeah, English players just seem to, be overhyped by the media and Premier League. So we'll see what Bellingham has to offer in 2-3 years time if he's still, making as much rave as he is now.
Well, my take on Bellingham is right now, he's overrated. Or no, not no. He's doing more than is rated
more than is expected. Yeah, he's, yeah.
No, not more than what's expected. Of course, when you go to Real Madrid, there's a lot of expectation, especially with that price tag, and coming with the way he started from like the grassroots football to Dortmund to Madrid, like is you cannot say he's doing above expectation. But I feel like I don't want to use
words because he's not a goal scorer.
Yeah. I'm saying like his gameplay. So I watched him more in Dortmund, and I know what he is. So what he's doing at Madrid is like a new thing to me. What he's doing right now at Madrid is positioning, the places he picks ball from, where he pops up, you know, all those areas, all those zones is new to me. But as I was saying, I don't want to use the word overrated, but I will use the word doing more than his ratings right now. Football is about end products. Football is about winning. Football is about scoring. So if you can get those things done, then you are close to being termed as a world-class player or having world-class player output. But the issue now is being able to consistently do that the whole season, one. Then doing that to help your team win trophies, two. And repeating that, even if you don't win trophy the first season, but doing that the next season and doing it again the next season, like two seasons. So three seasons in a row, but staying at that particular level. You can drop to 6/10, but staying at 8/10, that is where the legendary status comes into play. And as with every sport, with any sport, there's always that need for the highlights, grabber, the news, you know, attention to push the spots. So that's what's happening to Bellingham right now. When Mbappé was shining, Mbappé was all over the place, Haaland, you know, they need someone like that to push the spots. So that's what's happening to him right now. But if it continues like this, the whole season, that will be an interesting one. Really, really interesting. And if he does it again next season, then that's crazy. And his numbers are close to one of those numbers. Close.
So we'll see. Just 11 games in the season or something like that. So
Yeah. No. We'll I mean, see. Like, you know, yeah. What from on the things we've seen, like auspices of things we've seen right now, you know, we can only deal with what we facts that we have on ground.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's true.
But I feel like, again, for me, I'm not looking at team as a player. I'm looking at Madrid as a whole. Looking at Bellingham, he's doing okay, but Madrid as a whole, I don't think this is how they should play. Because if they can mark Bellingham out, who's going to score? So that's where the problem comes from. Because that's what Barcelona did, because I was part of the game. And Barcelona, they were like, you know, on top of the game. But they just blinked. So his first goal, world class. Yeah. That first goal was absolutely world class. Second goal, I guess that had legs. And you know, he took his chance. And it's similar to what he actually did when he actually had that crazy run that season.
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
Yeah.
So and I was always of the opinion that this year actually is for the length, man. Because during the game, beginning of the game to like 78 minutes, you're not finding anywhere.
Yeah.
But the last 30 minutes, last 25 minutes, that's when he's gonna wake up.
Yeah.
And he's going to carry the ball from his defense and drive the ball forward, and the ball is going to get the ball from him, and he's going to score and grab the headlines and see, yeah, today is great. So I just feel like, and again, good players always act that way. Ronaldo too did that. Ronaldo will not play anything during the game, but the last 10 minutes, because everyone is tired, and that's where your fitness comes to play.
Tapping.
No, it's not tapping. Ronaldo was never a tapping king. He was never a tapping king. Like, you act as if you didn't watch Ronaldo in EPL when he carried United, always carried the ball halfway line. Jibbe everybody, go score.
That iteration of Ronaldo. I'm saying that Ronaldo, of his last few years in Madrid, his time at Juve.
Few years in Madrid.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
The guy would not contribute anything until...
Are you kidding me?
Okay. This is not an argument.
Not Ronaldo of now that is almost 50.
I'm talking of the tapping king Ronaldo.
Okay.
Anyway.
Anyway, so that's just my take on Bellingham. But we'll see.
We'll see.
Funny enough,
By what I've seen by him, but I don't think he can sustain it. I don't think he and Madrid can sustain this.
They can't. I'm looking at Madrid. I'm not looking at Bellingham. Madrid cannot. They cannot go through the season playing this way.
Yeah.
Bellingham might. I mean, it would be nice to see that happening. But Madrid, from beginning, I've always been that. And prior to the game, I think I can't remember the person. One of the Barcelona players were like, oh, they don't watch Madrid games, but they just see the score line at the end of the game and they see Bellingham has scored. They're like, what's happening there? And it happened to them.
I guess now you know.
It happened to them.
Now you know.
You know how it feels.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait. Before you move on to the last segment, I kept this question to myself, which is not on the board for us to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
So, top 10 managers ever.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to mention them. But do you think Wenger would feature?
Absolutely.
What are the reasons that you think Wenger would feature
First
in that?
First of all,
top 10, not in the PLO.
Yeah.
Ever, like.
Of all time, yeah.
Tell me what why you would feature in.
First of all, he revolutionized the way people think of the game, the way sports, like teams are built. What it means to, first of all, you know, like a lot of black players pay homage to George Weah, Henry, and like, you know, racism was, you know, a big problem in Europe of like allowing black players. Wenger was one of the few coaches that, like, you know, was fine with having black players on his team. So from that aspect,
can you mention the other managers that did that? Oh no! Wait, don't. Just wanted to mention them. So yeah. Do you think
that's not the only criteria? So let me mention it. In terms of building up, like, you know, academy players, and he's not the only one, but again, he's one of the few ones who believed in building a young squad, not just buying, you know, already made products. In terms of fitness of play of individual players, having like a strict regiment, you know, taking care of your body. In England, he was the one who revolutionized that. Who was like, you know, you need to have like a strict, you know, cut out drinking. Because when he first moved to Arsenal in 96 season, all them Lee Dixon, they used to like after before games, they'll go and drink and then come and play. Like it was just like how we used to do our FIT. You know, just
please, not out.
Where you
not
people, you people.
No, yeah, not me. I'm not with you people. Look at this guy.
Before games, I'll go to the gym and prepare.
Please.
Let me tell you something funny. The other day, I was going through my camera roll, and I'll send you that picture. I found that picture of when we won IMs. I'll send you that picture. I think.
I saw a few pictures too recently when I was trying to declutter my photo
roll.
Yeah, I saw it.
Look at this. Anyway,
but you know, honestly, that's probably like the best I've played in my life. The best football. Like I've tried to replicate that anywhere. Anyway, I feel like all of us knew how to play, and we were just good, and we had at our peak almost at the same time.
Yeah, star boy with so you now, of course.
Played, and we played well. Like I've tried to replicate that anywhere, everywhere else I've been to. Man, that's no, never been.
I'm catching my form back again, so I don't know. Speak for yourself, because
no, guy. So I'll talk about as a team and individual, not like this. That's probably like my best, like I've played ever. I mean, I played in DC.
Yeah,
I enjoyed DC. DC was really good for me too, because that was when I started playing with like more international. I played with guys from France, Holland, Africans, of course, Americans, like Brazilians. God, there's one particular guy when we pick teams. I always pray to play with that guy, because when I play against that guy, there was no way we were going to win. But when I play with him, it was always very good. But yeah.
So Wenger, and then obviously, I mean, there are very few coaches who, Juve, I think the Juve, they went unbeaten. But that unbeaten alone, puts him in the you know Mount Rushmore of coaches,
top 10.
Yes.
Oh wait, when you say Mount Rushmore, that's top four. Are you?
No, that's what I say. If you could do a 10, of course. Now, as in, what the point is, of all the greatest coaches of all time, if you list top 10, Wenger has to be there.
Wenger.
Yes.
So those are the reasons why it will be there.
Of course, and I mean, given the limited budget, managing a team like Arsenal, moving us to a new stadium, and still being able to compete with the likes of United and Chelsea that had, like, you know, war chest. Yeah, man, you have to put him there. You have to put him there.
Top four.
Top ten.
Okay,
top 10.
Okay, so top ten, sorry, top ten. So my question is, this top ten of yours, is it from when you started watching football or ever?
No, of course, you can't say from when I was, can only speak to from. There are other people, like there are many other coaches who, you know, I can't speak to before my time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. So when did you start watching football?
As in categorically, as in...
When your brain...
When I recognized... I would say 1998, 1999.
Okay. So, you know, there were a lot of managers that won World Cup and played good football. Zagallo, one, Brazilian. Those guys in Italy, all those Ancelotti,
that's what I'm saying, that
Lippi,
I'm not
all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Lippi, all those guys during that period, right? Get a managed
before 98, 99.
No, I'm counting after 98.
Yeah, you have to win that day. I'm sorry.
No way. Like De Bosque, what's his name? This man I managed. England, this Italian man that managed England.
Capello, Fabio
Capello. Capello, mm-hmm. Ferguson, Pep.
How are you putting Fabio Capello ahead of Arsene Wenger?
Guy, are you kidding me? Do you know what Capello? Do you know what Capello did? Now England, is England just their skin is white. Like all those Italian coaches, just forget about them. Like 100%. Maybe I'll just give you. Maybe I'll just give you like. Top 50. You don't say bad as bad. So this is an artist question because people listen.
So wait, let me ask you a question, Shion. Since you are saying Italian, because so I guess you're basing it off of just winning. And I'm saying that there's more.
No.
So would you put Antonio Conte ahead of Arsene Wenger?
I'm coming, I'll get there. I know you're gonna ask me that question. I'll get there. So the reason why I picked those guys is because What we learned, like what I grew up on, I used to say if you grew up on it, except you want to lie, is 4-4-2. That's what everybody used to play, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all those guys in Italy, they were playing different formations. They were doing started like diamond, then they do that Kaká position, then they now also had Pelu position. Like those guys were like mixing football, like those what's it called? You know, like chopping and shaping different formations. You have people playing three at the back. You have people playing 3-5-2, 3-4-3. You know, just doing full backs will be your wing backs and all that. Those guys were changing. They were trying different things. So Wenger is not the first to do anything.
No, I'm not saying he's the first, but I'm saying.
And those guys, wait now. You say you've spoken now. And those guys won. It's not about just setting and changing how you do regimen, how you eat. Did you win? If that's the case, using young kids, Klopp did it at Dortmund. So are you saying Klopp should be top 10?
You have to give a time period. I feel like you have to...
I've given you a time period now. I said, is it one when you started watching football? You said 98. Go and check. Go and check 98 until date.
So,
go and check. And it's not winning alone. Those guys won fashionably, like in fashion, like it was good football. It wasn't like, oh, parking the bus or whatever that you want to call it.
Look.
You have to respect these people.
No, I mean...
Is Pep ahead of Wenger? Lie.
No, of course Pep is ahead. Look. Pep is ahead of Wenger. There's no doubt about that.
But oh, good.
Again, I guess you have to restrict it. Okay, I was bantering, but on a serious note, if you say best coaches of all time, I mean, there are coaches in Nigerian Premier League that have been successful. You understand? Mm-hmm. That have won maybe, obviously that was an example, but I'm saying in local leagues that have won trophies season after season after season. So you have to, you have to research it, because the data points are, it's just too many. There are just too many data points. So
I've said now. I said from when you started watching
football. Yeah, but
if you want to go back, if you want to go all the way back before EPL even became EPL.
No, are you saying in the whole world?
Yes, now.
No, but you can't say where else? Because I don't know what the coaches are in the world now. Come on.
I mean, okay. So the reason
give me a finite data set.
I'm coming. I'll give you. Don't worry. Relax. So the reason I ask this question is because people listen to our podcast and they enjoy us. And I got in the midst of a few of them because they were like, you know, and so just started like just bantering and talking. And somebody asked that, oh, I should mention top 10 managers ever. So I was like, just thinking. But I didn't mention Wenger. And the guy was like, I'm going to mention Wenger. I'm like, it depends on the question you're asking. Are you saying from like ever or from a certain time or, you know, then we now move to EPL. We're like, okay, we're going to be top 10 in EPL. And I said, well, I mean, I don't think so. But I asked again, is it when EPL became EPL, like English Premier League, or Championship from all the way from when it started?
If you do EPL from 92 to present, Wenger is there.
Okay.
Do you agree with that?
I mean,
let's limit it because yes, he coached in Japan before he came to EPL, but where he spent most of his career. If you do from 1990, from the start of Premier EPL season 1992 till today, Arsene Wenger is in top 10 coaches of all time, and that is
for EPL, though, not the whole world, though.
Yeah, EPL. That's what I said. EPL.
I mean, there are not many successful managers in EPL now. So
what do you mean by that?
They're not successful. So of course, you go really look at champion now. you pick Ferguson, obviously you pick Wenger, pick Mourinho, you pick Pep, you might even go as far as picking Conte or pick what's his mother one with Leicester City. There are not many successful managers now. How many successful managers are there?
You pick Klopp. No, but there have been many managers.
I'll definitely pick Klopp. Yeah? I'll pick Klopp.
Yeah, you pick Klopp now, of course.
I'll pick this man, this Liverpool man.
Not Dalglish. What's his name? The guy that went to Celtic, Rogers.
No.
Yeah, which Liverpool man?
What's his name? When I watch Champions
League. Oh, Benitez.
Yes, I pick Benitez. Wow. So if I pick Benitez, then I have to pick Wenger. I know.
What if you pick Benitez? Of course,
you have to pick Wenger
first before you.
I'll pick Wenger.
After Ferguson and Pep, it's Wenger.
Nah. After Ferguson, Pep.
Actually, it's actually Pep Ferguson.
No. You cannot say that. You can't. On what grounds? On what grounds?
So you can't. You can't compare Pep and Ferguson. See, the times that Pep and Ferguson faced each other, Ferguson was outclassed.
They were not in the same league. Are you okay? They were not in the same league.
What do you mean by doing?
We're talking about EPL. No, we're not talking about
Pep
all round. Like,
Pep will surpass Fergie's record in terms of
Premier. No problem. I mean, it's no problem. How many has he won now?
Five, I'll be six.
No, but I need 12. He hasn't won six. What's wrong with you? Are you calculating okay?
Pep,
how can you say won six?
I said five.
Five what?
Premier League.
EPL? No. He has won. He has won. Hold on, let's check, please. EPL winners is 2000. Abby, is it from 2000?
No.
When they become EPL?
Oh, 1992. No, Fergie has 13, but.
Yeah, if he has 13, I'm saying. I know. Don't worry about Fergie's own. Let's count. When did your guy come?
2016.
Fergie came 2016, Abby.
Yeah.
So. 2016,
and he's only once that he has not won. Twice.
Yeah. So 2016. Are you sure?
Yeah.
2016. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, 5.
Take it from me, and they tell you something.
How can you see something? He has won? So he has won 5. So he has how many to go?
Fake one is 13, Abi.
13, yes. So how many to go?
He will close it. 8. That one you already know. Unless start praying to God that Arteta and Arsenal do something. Pray to God, though.
I don't understand. So he's going to win 8 continuously?
Unless Arsenal stop him.
But he's not going to win it. He cannot. He's not going to win it. It's not possible. Like, okay. It's not definitely not possible because he's going to run away. He's going to get tired. He's going to get bored. You think it's easy to be in a club for 20 years? It's not easy at all. Like, I don't think anybody has done it. It's not easy to be in a club for 20 years. Like, it's annoying. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy annoying to be in a club for 20 years with the same bullshit every year.
The guy, I feel like they need to probe that guy, Sha. I've been saying it. It's okay.
Who?
Ferguson.
Why? Probing for what?
I feel like the guy used to collude with referees, but that's just my personal bias take.
But you support Barcelona. Like, I don't understand. There's facts that Barcelona did some malpractices. Like, his record. Like, it's facts showing.
I don't.
But there's no record for Ferguson doing it, so I don't understand.
What you mean? That there's no proof does not mean that it didn't happen.
Okay. No problem. Anyway. Man City that you support to the very same thing talking about them.
Support Man City, please.
Oh, did you hear that they want to deduct points from Everton?
Everton, yeah, I saw that.
Do you know how ridiculous that sounds?
This world just have money as Nigeria.
It's unfair.
Just have like money. It's so
crazy.
Stupid. It's so stupid.
I mean, I agree. Like, if they find them wanting, 100% deduct the points. But City is just lounging. City is living life. So, in conclusion, so you say Wenger will be number two, maybe?
Three.
Okay, number three. Okay. Because he didn't win Champions League.
That's the only reason why.
Okay. No problem.
And the only he won the league three times, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Will Mourinho be there?
Yeah, of course.
Conte,
top 10. Conte. I mean, because he won it, yeah, put him there.
Nah, it's Ancelotti now. It's Ancelotti.
Ancelotti is there. I'm not listing in categorical in what's it called? In a chronological order, Abby.
I'm just listening. Mourinho won in 3 years.
Yeah,
he came back like it's crazy. He came back and came and win it again. Like that's boss move, man. That's boss move. That is
just a big man now.
That's but a anyway, boss move.
We spent a lot of time just arguing about this. It was fun though. It was fun.
It's because you believe that anything that Arsenal has is the best in the world. Like, how can you say when Wenger will be top 10 in the world? Like, I don't understand. But I know we'll get a lot of feedback from this because people are asking the question. He almost became physical. He almost locked me up. Well, I was like, "Are you drunk, Wenger?"
So, you know, you're just a hater. So, like,
no. Like, people lie a lot. Like, I don't like. See, I'll repeat it again. If I go to heaven, and I see Arsenal fans in there, I'll fight God. I will fight God. Like, what are these people doing here?
Thankful that you are among the chosen ones. Anyway,
like what are we doing here? Like what is ridiculous? What are we doing here? Anyway, let's move on.
All right. So well, we hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. We will end off. I will close the episode with predictions.
Weekend. Okay, please keep it by. Like let's even try. Let's put effort and see if we get our this time. Because I know I always text you and say was I correct. So, but I know Sam's always keeping records. Sam always texts me and say, he's always texting me and say you were wrong, but he never texts me to say I'm right. He never does. When I'm wrong, he's always happy to text me that you got this one wrong.
Okay, so Fulham versus United.
Ah, good. Okay. I feel like United needs to win this game, but it's a grudge match, so. Anything that you see, just collect. But of course, I'll pick United. But I'm surprised Fulham wins. It's a good match. So Manchester United.
Okay, I say Fulham.
Of course, you always speak about opponents. So
not no really. Problem.
Let's just continue. No comment. No comment.
Man City. Anything like that. Man City. Bournemouth.
City. It's Bournemouth. Like if City don't win this game, then they have no business talking about winning the league.
Yeah, and it's at Etihad, so
like there's no like. Yeah.
Newcastle. Oh, Whoops, hold on. I'm looking at the wrong listing for some reason.
But you see, you're correct. You're correct.
Yeah, well, Brentford, West Ham.
West Ham. That would be a good game. That would be a good game. I cannot really predict this one, honestly. I feel like Brentford can win this game. But West Ham, I don't know. They know how to, like, they know how to, like, arrange themselves, be compact and tight. But Brentford is very, they're like metal football. They just rush you. And it's at home for Brentford.
Yeah.
I won't be surprised if you just check and see West Ham win this game 2-0, 2-1.
Brentford. Brentford? I say West Ham. Burnley Palace.
Has Burnley won any game this season?
Yeah, they have.
How many?
One. I think they're on one now. One win and then a couple of draws.
Okay.
Burnley definitely losing this game. I know for sure.
Yeah, they won one game and they drew one. Okay. They're losing this game.
So you say Palace?
Yeah, Palace.
Yeah, I say Palace went too.
Everton, yeah. Brighton.
Everton, Brighton.
Brighton, oh. Everton. Those people, they are gathering points much more. And nobody said anything about them. Brighton should win this one. Because if Brighton doesn't win this game, then they're in trouble. They're in official crisis.
I think this is a Brighton win.
Actually. Yeah, if they don't win, if Brighton doesn't win this game.
Everton, they are slowly but surely doing things, Sha.
That's what I'm saying now. Like, they're gathering the point and nobody's saying anything. Nobody's noticing them. Wolves. Wolves needs to win this game. They need the win. And they need a convincing win, too.
They will win this game.
Yeah, they should. They should. Not like they will, but they should.
Then, I guess, one of the marquee games of the weekend, Newcastle as. Yeah.
It's
very tricky.
When last did Newcastle beat people? Last season?
They beat us last season now, yeah.
Let me check the form. Let me check the head to head.
Last season.
Let me check it to head. Hold on.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you guys beat them this season. So last season, you guys beat them last season 2-0. And they drew with you guys. Yeah, so you guys beat them and you guys drew.
Oh, yeah.
They beat you guys.
Yeah, they beat us this season. Chasing top four, yeah.
Yeah, so it's season before, and yeah. So you guys did hold your house, let me hold my house. Season before,
yeah.
Because Newcastle always just laid down for you guys to just beat them. Before. I don't know why. I feel like it's like a fit.
Yes, it.
Okay, help me here. What do you think the mentality is right now? How do you think the dressing room is right now for you guys after the loss.
Yeah. I personally think that, you know, I watched some of the game. The performance was not a great one. West Ham away is a tough team to play against. So we'll see. I mean, but then it wasn't the league and it wasn't our full team as well. And they played their full team. So we'll see. I just feel like we've not been convincing.
Okay.
We beat Sheffield 5-0, but you'd expect that they had a lot of injuries and it was at the Emirates. So, but this is a tough match.
Okay, but, your first loss this season in the league. I'm giving you that. Yeah.
Oh, well, so it's in Newcastle.
Yeah.
Okay.
First loss.
I say this is still an Arsenal win. We're still unbeaten.
The marks you guys can get here is a draw, but I'm sticking with your first L. Yeah.
Okay. We're not you guys. Forest Villa.
See, I'm not you guys. Don't worry now. We're back. Forest Villa. Villa.
Easy.
Because this guy is not back.
Awoniyi. Whether he was back or not, they will still get that work.
It's still something. It's still something. When you have your big man up front.
Luton
Town.
Luton versus Liverpool.
Liverpool. Like, these guys, they're just finding a way to win this game. it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I see Liverpool as well. I, you know, most of these fixtures, maybe because I guess some of them are very obvious, perhaps. And then Spurs versus Chelsea.
If Chelsea played the same way they played against Arsenal, not this last game, but the way they played against Arsenal, if they have that same performance. but the issue is Tottenham knows how to score, and they can defend a little bit above average. They concede goals, but they know how to score. But Chelsea doesn't know how to score, and they concede goals, but they defend. Some days they defend well, some days they don't defend well.
You're an overnight analyst.
Tottenham. Chelsea. Oh, God, Chelsea, a disappointment. Tottenham.
You say Tottenham?
Yeah. I'm happy to see that.
Nah, this is first no. win. They know.
I wish. Because they have good scorers. They know how to score. Yeah. Chelsea doesn't know how to score. If Chelsea can score, then it's probably a draw. But Chelsea cannot score. See what Jackson did against Arsenal. He had 1-on-1, and he stopped, and he decided to pass the ball to it was Rihanna. I was like, why? So how do you feel the performance of your goalkeeper that you want to sell?
That we want to sell Ramsdale?
Yeah. His performance yesterday.
Like I said, I didn't watch the whole game, but
you didn't. Okay.
Yeah, but I feel from the things that I've seen and I've heard, it wasn't really his fault in the goals, but then obviously because of the situation now, every little thing that he does, you know, attention will be on him.
So, it's both of them. It's both of them.
Yeah. So
Arteta just decided to cause problem from where there's no problem, like absolutely no problem. He bought Havertz, not needed. He got a goalkeeper, none in there. Just said to just put Spanner, trust Spanner in the works. Anyway, it's been a good show. Hopefully, we'll come back next week because we have fans, we have people that listen to us
every week.
And I know someone that texts me every Friday morning that where's the new episode coming up because he likes to listen to us every Friday morning or afternoon.
Well, so those who listen to us, thank you. We appreciate
Ojuku, Anthony Ojuku is always listening to us every Friday. So,
Tony, thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you.
So, we'll try. We'll come back.
Yeah.
We'll come back. And we'll put a poll, and our staff will like this to see if Wenger, there'll be two polls. If it's going to be top 10 in the world and top 10 EPL.
Top 10 EPL.
Managers.
Stop.
Because you want him to be there.
No, he's disappointed. I don't, it's not about me.
He doesn't be disappointed. I say we'll put a poll now so that our fans can vote. Is that okay?
Why democracy? Yeah. No,
okay.
All right.
No problem. Yeah.
Next time.
All right. Peace.
Yeah.